Let us move forward in our dissertation as we expositorily convey the essence of God and the glorious eternal blessings that are ours and have been and always have been, I should say, and never were not there. Amen. God before prepared all things, finalized and complete. Amen. To our benefit. So we are secure and we're safe. Regardless of what seems to transpire around us, God has purposed all things according to His good pleasure. And that works out for us, not against us. Amen. You can trust God. You can believe Him. You can rest in Him. Oh my God. How blessed and how privileged we are as His people this morning. Amen. Take out your document. We welcome those that are joining this message by way of the webcast. There is a document which is entitled Scripture Comprehension. Everybody says Scripture distinctions. Actualization into eternity. From manifestation in time. And we had moved to the section there. I want you to go to page 11 and page 9, that particular section there. Repeat after me. Relativism in Scripture ontology. Well, Pastor, you're throwing a lot of things at us. No. Amen. Relativism, how things relate, or how they should relate. Amen. Scripture ontology. Ontology. Pastor, these all these words. No. Existence. Everybody say existence. That is how things relate scripturally. Answer to that is they relate to God. Everybody say according to God. Focus is on God. We come in here each week, amen, and the purpose of coming together is to be continually brought in to awareness and comprehension. Yeah. All things reside in Him. It's about Him. It's because of Him. It's moving according to the pleasure of His goodwill. His goodwill. Amen. As it relates to us, His will is good. Regardless of how things may seem. The Liberman is our designated reader. We're going to go back to the same scriptures, and of course we will wear them out if we have to. I mean, life is wearing you out, so we need to go where get the information. Amen. To deal with what's beating you up. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. I'll read those three verses, the first in the King James.
Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with the first verse, King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Now you see what he's saying there, even in King James. Faith is about the unseen. Because authentic evidence through faith is unseen. Evidence is unseen. That goes counter to what we get in the courts. So here we have prima facie evidence. In other words, it is so clear and it is so observable that it can't be disputed. In essence, that's not the scene. In essence, it is the unseen. Keep reading.
Verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good report.
Okay, that's why we go to the Greek. They didn't gain anything through their own efforts. We'll deal with that. Keep on.
Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
All right, let's go to the Greek so that we, and we pretty early here are going to get into some exegesis. I say this, it is paramount that we are fully apprised of what's out there. In the course of just this past week, we have turned on our communication mediums, television, radio, internet, and we have been bombarded with supposedly events pending, current events, and supposedly past events that all seem to be stacked against the essence of peace and tranquility. When the opposite is actually true, the Bible is complete when it says God is not the author of confusion. Well, then why are these things out there? Because it is really not confusion. I mean, what is confusion? Confusion is when you don't have the answer to it. Confusion is when it seemingly is going to be destructive. And confusion is when it seems uncontrollable. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, we are not looking at what? We're not looking. You're not using that medium to assess what is. What are we looking at? Unseen. What is the unseen?
Amen.
The seen conveys processes. The unseen reveals God's purpose. The seen locks us captivity of what is visibly before us. The unseen lets us know that we're safe. We're secure in Christ. The seen is temporary. Thank God it's temporary. The unseen is in God's word that was there, is there, and will always be there. The finalized essence of what things are what they are, not what they seem to be in process or progressing toward, or even digressing, as we would say. Now, that's the difference. Why are we admonished not to prioritize and focus on the thing that is seen? Why the unseen? Why the seen I can relate to, I can resonate with. I can reach out and touch it. And not that I want to sometimes, but but at least it's something I can understand. No, you don't understand. And that's what causes the confusion. That's what causes the trepidation in our lives. We got something we can't handle, and we don't know what it is. We don't know why it's there. It's something we do. Hebrews, read verse 1 from the Greek text. And for those who are watching here at the Grace Gospel Church, utilize all the translations. We do a comparative analysis of them. But in essence, we follow the Greek scripting, and this document here, the Greek interlineal, is basically set in its juxtaposition to the Greek scripting. And even sometimes as he varies, he has to put some type footnote there. Let you know I'm going off the track. And then maybe a couple of times he doesn't. But at least his feet are held closer to the fire. And he doesn't have freedom to just float away from what the scripting conveys, as all translations do at some time. All right? And then we exegete, we use the threefold method of exegesis, which are what? Historical. That means, as we stand here this morning, what covenant are we in?
Grace.
What's the next one?
Contextual.
We contextualize this. You know, in the Greek scripting, you notice there are no punctuation marks. And so that becomes task, exegesis, to actually place things in the order of context. And what's the last one?
Grammatical.
We have the Greek script in there, so we're going to grammatically follow the rules up to a certain point. Amen. We get to the aorist tense, we have to depart from some thinking there that basically conveys that we are going to ignore, because we don't talk that way. But when we do that, we don't give recognition that the scriptures talk that way of things formerly residing, or in the past residing, in completeness, because from the beginning, that's the way they were initiated. When initiated in completeness, everything concerning God's purpose is initiated in completeness. We're not on our way, we're there and have been there. In fact, you were there before you got here. I said, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? We have to look at everything in terms of its eternal state. It's initiated as a finished product. Because there is no sequencing in eternity. Now, it may have to be revealed to finite creatures in sequences. Just because it is revealed that way does not mean that's not how it comes into existence. Everything is now in eternity. Everything is finalized in eternity. And we need to hear that. To counter the fear that we have, because in processes, at whatever stage that thing is sequenced in and you're looking at it, can destroy your confidence. But if we know that it is finalized in the essence of what works for us, not against us, we are always confident, secure, and thankful. Oh, give God a praise. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at that in the Greek. Hebrews 11:1. Very quickly, I'm trying to move through this kind of rapidly this morning so we can get where we really want to focus. Read.
Hebrews chapter 11, first verse, interlinear Greek text. Now is faith of things being hope, reality.
What is reality? What I see, that's not what this is saying. Essence of what it is in its actualized state is not what is before you. What is before you is what has been subjected to vanity, uselessness, which is all of visible processes. Watch a game, your team actually is replay. And you know that your team won. It doesn't have to be an athletic contest. Funny anything. Yeah, but watch the story. And you know that the end results were favorable. Did you go through the same agony and emotional downturn that you went through it when you watched, you initially watched it? In an athletic contest, if the team goes up 15, 20, 30 points, you say, "That's so what?" Because you knew, you know this. Yeah, right. This is what we've got to come to in life. The reality is the finished product. The reality is what is actualized. Read.
By this, now is faith in things hoped, reality of things proof not being seen.
So the proof is not in the scene. I mean, God is talking to us, but he's a just go right by us. Evidence of proof is not in the scene. And this is primary reason we come together to get the same. Because we want the real deal. Which is in God's saying. Most of us think the real deal is we see. And then that second verse, I guess we don't have time. The exegesis there shows the passive voice in the second verse concerning the elders. God caused them to see the end product. And that's what affected them more than what they saw. Just read it in.
Verse 2. By this, for obtain witness the elders.
They received through communication of the saying which overshadowed the seeing. That's the exercise. That's why you are here this morning. Listen, life is about what God has said. Which completely annihilates most of the trepidation as we receive this message and things around us. And you know, it doesn't take much. No, it doesn't take much. Sometimes little small nugatory things just completely unnerve us. We're professional world rewards. Oh yes. We're not satisfied unless we find something to worry about. And of course, visually, there's more than you can handle. But as recipients of life and existence, as reflection of what God has said, we like the elders. We receive a good report. Old Testament, Joseph, sold into slave. Was that bad or good? Visibly, bad. Purposefully good. Lied upon by Potiphar's wife. Visually bad. Purposefully good. Because you don't get down to Egypt and you don't get in Pharaoh's jail without those two incidents. We'd set him up with the baker and the butler, and then the dream came. He was available. Through meeting the baker and the butler, whom he wouldn't have been there except for the lie.
The lie. Hallelujah.
Sometimes it is hard to comprehend that a lie can end up working for us.
Yeah.
That some quote unfortunate incident can be a blessing and not a curse. Y'all hear me this morning? Now here we have to get to the source of things to comprehend and appreciate that. Verse 3.
By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a saying of God.
Now, actually, we've been through this before, so I just go through rather rapidly. I'm trying to get where I'm going this morning, if I can get there. The Greek verb there, katatiste. Kata is what? According to. Kadiste deals with creation. Same word as in Colossians 1:16. So you have according to creation, the ages. And what it is saying is, and of course it starts off by saying, by faith we understand. Everything that is conveyed as it relates to God is received by faith medium. None of it by sight. The only way you will understand is God imparted faith. Else this won't make any sense to you. It won't make any sense to me. Except through faith. And what it says that the ages, the actions of the ages, the events of the ages, everything in the ages were created according to what?
A faith.
A saying what?
A
saying that belonged to God. Everything was created. All things were created according to what? A saying of God. When did he say it? He had to say it for it to exist.
That's right.
It can only exist through him saying it. You mean that terrible, bad thing? This is why some feel like they have to defend God. Say, oh, no, God didn't have anything to do with that. The devil, and now you got the devil saying things and bringing them into existence. No. Even the devil himself. He's dead because of a saying. I'm going very slow because there's things out there that, oh my God, we I'm talking about God's people now. Many of us don't live in any more advantageous position than the non-elect. are those that are his people. Because we trust the same things they do. We receive the same communication that they do. And of course, God has caused us as those elders. Because some of them did and some of them didn't. And some of them did at times, and then at other times they didn't. In that passage there, some refer to them as heroes of faith. I don't go there. Because everyone's testimony of a heads up is also the testimony of a mess up. Every one of them, you go down the list, there's something there to show you that they were praying. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we shine in faith. Sometimes we fail miserably. What's the difference? God's purpose. Because he calls us. He's the cause. We like to talk about Abraham's faith. There's a lot recorded there of his failure. Goes down into the promised land. Now God's word said that's the land I promised him. When he got there, he didn't like what he got. So he what? Got out of there. Got out of Dodge. That's what many of us do many times. Don't even stick around and see what God is doing with you. You're mad. Sometimes God plants us there and won't allow us to move. You ever tried to do something and it just all your efforts. That thing didn't budge. You know why? Because it doesn't move because of the efforts in process. It's already predeterminately arranged as to what it is. And it and you ain't going nowhere. Oh, God, help us to understand. So we can have a heads on life. And so finish that verse there. Then there's, oh my God, that clock. Oh, Jesus.
By saying of God, so as not out of things appearing.
This is the way it works. Accordingly, what? Out of things appearing.
The thing being seen to have become.
That's to have become. That's esting. Are. And they are because that's what they always were. Don't get frustrated. Here's something you're trying to move it and change it, alter it, at least slow it down. And that thing falls so in, quote, this is the way we see it, inconvenient. Not inconvenient, that's the way it always was. You just didn't see it that way. Things that happen in our life, we say, wow, me too. Here's the final revelation. Joseph said to his brothers, now you, your design was evil. But God's purpose, eternity is good. Now in this sense, this in time was manifested
right.
As a good deed.
Right.
in not feeding not only Egypt but Israel,
right,
said that many people this day would be faith. But then
sometimes
your faith just has to move into the reality, to the realm of reality of eternality.
Yeah.
And trust in God.
Yeah.
If that's the way it is, that's the best it could have been.
Hallelujah.
Because eternally, it works for me.
Yeah.
Not against me.
Not.
Give God another praise.
Hallelujah.
So it's not the revelation of the seen, but the unseen. And the revelation of the unseen is through faith, which overshadows the so-called display of what is visual before us. Now when you understand that, and you tie it to Colossians, all things were created what?
In him.
What?
Him.
What? For him. Let's do that again. What? In him, through him, for him.
Him.
We think life is about us. It's about him. Now we're able to put some substance and contents. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let's go there. Oh, God. We have to take our time. I know it seems that we're moving at a snail's pace. But comprehension is the most important thing here. It would be better for you to comprehend five things than to go through 500 things and not have comprehension.
Amen.
Who's better off? All right, because what you can't comprehend and know can hurt you. Oh, I know the old saying, what you say, what you don't know, can't hurt you. I don't know who came up with that. What you don't know could be lethal. Yeah, it'll kill you. All right. I'll just read that first verse there. First of the King James, and then from the Greek, and then we're going to exegete.
Romans chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. King James text initially. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
That was twisted. And how so-called conservative Christians, my brothers, I love you, but you got that one completely wrong. God is not endorsing and has never endorsed any particular government. No. And that's what's not with Paul is saying there. The essence of what's there. Well, let's go to the Greek. Let's go to the Greek.
Romans chapter 13, first verse, interlinear Greek text. Every soul authorities to superior, let be subject.
Okay.
Amen.
There's some of that last week, just very quickly, that let be there, and when they deal grammatically, I guess at the time, I don't know, That word there, basically, connotation used to mean allow or hinder, which put the recipient in control. But you got the passive voice there. Brother Deacon, you got your, isn't that the passive voice? Must be. It's subjected. You're not letting if you are subjected. If you are subject to, you're not under controlling or determining in. Think about that. That Greek word that they have authority there, we dealt with that last week. Capacitated or capacities. Whatever is empowered or authorized in capacity is of God. How did Israel get down in to Egypt? So where the Joseph, they went down there to eat. Why didn't he leave? Well, because there was a leader, Pharaoh, that was very appreciative of Joseph and treated him fairly well. Then he died. Some of us on the job and have a pretty nice boss, and then all of a sudden gets transferred or leaves. And then they put somebody in the place and go, oh Lord. Leaders get transitioned. And I'm told, I watched the History Channel, that some people, when FDR, Franklin Roosevelt died, they thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? Well, what was done before he got there? That's why we don't all get all jointed out of shape because of the changing of the guards. G-U-A-R-D. Yes. Who's in power? Who goes down? Oh, we as citizens would do what we are. Have been designed to do and decreed to do. We will vote. But even when we were voting, we were not dependent upon the person we were voting for. Y'all hear me this morning? Because things move from time to time, from place to place. And the kicker in there is that it is all foreordained of God. That terrible happening was foreordained of God. I lost my job. How could that be foreordained? How could that happen if it wasn't foreordained? How could that transpire? I lost my house. I got sick. What happened? Well, maybe God went to sleep and the devil showed up. We took a big short rest vacation. And, you know, after all, that's what happened to Adam in the garden. The Lord went away and the devil showed up and upset the apricot. No. Everybody said purpose. This is what we have to focus on. God's in control. God has a reason and a purpose. of the problems is we don't know who we are. Who we are is in relation to who He is. We don't know who we are, and we don't know where we are. Where are you? In Christ. In Christ. How many times is that in our country? In Him, in Christ, in God. The song we just sang just before we get ministry and save. He says, save. What is it that God comes to mind? Well, I'll tell you what, sure, it's safe. Deliberate. Not being deliberate. Deliberate. Safe. Everybody says safe. Say it again. Oh, God. Help us to put the premium on eternity rather than time. On purpose rather than processes. God's in control. So whatever's capacitated is according to God's purpose. And it can only go one way. To His final end, that's to our advantage, not our disadvantage, because of who we are. Let's go to page 11. I'm going to run just a little over, not that much this morning. Let's go to the second paragraph there. Speaks from the previous paragraph, subjective relativism of how we view things and relate them to what is pragmatic. And then when we see things capacitated that seemingly are a threat to us, that's the way we view them. And in that third verse, it speaks of these pessimisms or despondencies. They are diversions, challenging and obscuring scripture examination of assumptions formalized in most views of physicality. So most time you look out there and you look at your eyes of sight, amen, that's what you pick up. And so as it goes down through, and I'm going to kind of run through this, down to the middle there where it says, thus relativism turns up in many guises. You see that? About the seventh or eighth line down. Human cognitive relativisms distinguish secularized knowledge, that is, moral relativism in matters of subjective value. And so we must draw a line of demarcation and separate that and categorize that. It's not what is, but what appears to be. Because relativism's authentic principle is one of cognitive relativism in its sole actualization, where? In eternity, which we have been saying, which exposes the conspicuous paradoxes of humanism. So now when you're focusing on God, you get a complete different picture than when you're focusing on yourself. This engrossed modula of cognitive historicism conveys the initiative that truth is relative to moments in history. How it looks at that time, or at some other time, which always modifies as the time moves. As the time changes, the circumstances seem to change. The way that thing looked today doesn't look the same tomorrow. In fact, it may look worse today than it looked yesterday. Go to the last paragraph. This thinking or cogitation derives from the misconceptions. Absolute truth resides solely in the happenings of those who think that all categories of intellectual structure, that is, yes, religious, put it in the same bag, philosophy, ethics, etc., ascertained to etiological, that is, cause systems, that is, in processes, the laws and the principles of the workings of processes determine how that thing goes. This production of historical purists claims the truth about anything in any area could then be dismissed once its source basis is identifiably determined. Listen, laboring something in ideology, it dismisses addressing its actualized contents, yet absolute truth at its definitive basis in society permanently establishes what it communes, what it communicates, it's just what it seems to be, and that's the extent of it. We got to carry that down into life each day. Stop getting upset when you pick up your mail and there's something there that seems to threaten you. Scripture said we should not be terrified of anything. Anybody ever says anything that seemingly opposes. Because all opposition is not bad. Oh, it's bad in process. But good in purpose. Follow this. Most of what secularly notarized the miserable. Fine. Oh my God. I guess we'll just get out of this one paragraph a day. Listen to this. Most of what secularly notarized the miserable and terrible failures documented in absorbing historical marginals comply with the relativisms posed in humanism. In other words, the misery is in how that thing relates humanly, how it relates secularly, how it relates physically. How it relates and how you look at that thing as having its own agenda and its own capacity and its own power to do what it seemingly is there for. You lost that job because God had something else for you to do that was far better than what you were doing. Follow this. This is really harrowing here. The conjecture that there is an end, an absolute purpose in human history, unfortunately creates the typical relativistic paradox that one's own theory of history forms the basis for one's claim true fall of history. However, I'm not going to get through this whole paragraph here, but we'll touch on a couple of things. Bail out. Thank God it's always next week. The center or standard of relativism, that's how things relate, must be securely established in reliability of what constitutes its anchor. What is, an anchor? Yes, the ship goes out and throws down and it keeps it in that vicinity. or what holds a thing down. And that frustrates some of us. Because many times we want to move, but there's an anchor that we didn't drop. That we don't even know is there. What's the anchor of this thing? Purpose. Purpose. God's purpose. And that's the only place it's going. And processes. Well, I don't know what God's purpose. We walk by what? Faith. But if he chooses to reveal it to me, amen. If he doesn't, amen. Because I, either way, it's to my advantage, not my disadvantage. I wonder how many nights that maybe Joseph laid awake. Here I am, been sold into slavery, but here's the thing. The first plan was to kill him. But the anchor was dropped and it couldn't go there. Y'all listen to me. Why? Oh, life is exciting. Spiritually exciting. When we learn to walk by, and because to walk by faith. There are things that can come up. You could almost laugh at that thing. And you're surely not going to stay up all night worried about it. Thank you. I in here, in this light, the Word of God exhibits the exclusive, reliable entity entrusted as consistently fail-safe. You know, that's a term they use. A fail-safe, that means it can't fail. It's secure to the point where it can't fail. Only thing in existence in that category is God's Word. God's Word. But to abide in that security, God has to cause us to receive communication of His Word. First of all, how did that thing get there? Why am I sick? What's God's purpose for my sickness? You ever think about that? And you say, well, no, all I think about is I want to get well. Well, that's something that is certainly acceptable. But the more acceptable thing is, what is God's purpose for doing this? What is this really about in the essence of God? Of how it relates to God. So the essence is not on what I'm thinking, not on what I'm doing, not on what I'm planning. You all don't listen to me this morning. Not in what I want. But how and why and when and where, according to God's will. Men, but we don't really think that God has a will. No. We know what we want. And not too interested in knowing what he wants or whether we're going to align with what he wants. That as the person said to me that when we titled the first book there, don't be afraid of God's will. I'm like, oh, don't tell me about God's will. I want to think about God's will. I'm afraid of it. Because it may be the very opposite of what I want. What's the battle to God's will or what you want? God's will. But you only get that through His Word. And this is why we will continue to come together and continue to focus on the same and continue to draw life from the Word of God. Because that's the only way to live. As the song says, look and live. Look! Can you say look? Can you say look? And live! Can you say live? It's recorded in His Word. And as you receive the communication of His Word, what comes for praise? In the midst of trouble, because it's recorded in His Word, I can say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Oh, God. It's recorded. God bless you.